As some of you may know, I travel perhaps a bit more and more often and maybe even further than many people my age. Since last Sunday, I've been to Glacier National Park and back, and I won't even be here next Sunday because I'm going to be in Seattle on the way to Alaska. And the experience of this is growing more and more unpleasant, not just because I got into Fort Myers at 3 o'clock in the morning Saturday, but because of other things that go with travel these days. I think when I was younger, trips were a lot more fun. In fact, the trips sometimes were as much fun as the destinations. Mom packed great treats, which would be offered to us just before one of us in the back seat asked the question, "Are we there yet? How much longer?" But these days, travel is a whole different experience. And plane travel is the most unbelievable torment, not all of which is caused by the airline's belief that we are all about 5'4", and our bottoms and our shoulders are less than 22 inches wide. I kind of believe that their decision to make more money by charging for checked baggage has contributed to this. So watching what people carry on to airlines these days is absolutely amazing. For one who travels lightly, the purses, the bags, the sacks, the suitcases, garment bags, and now cats and dogs that people cram under the seat and stuff into the overhead bins, which are only designed for briefcases, is absolutely amazing. It takes longer to get everyone in, and it seems to take even longer to get everyone off. So it all adds to a measure of hostility that's already there because almost always you're late. So many plan and scheme and pay extra to get on early and capture what little space is there in the bins. All of this makes today's gospel as timely now as it was the first time Jesus spoke these words. The question that prompts this conversation and these parables is perfectly sensible in an age when there was only so much to go around and things always did run out. So when someone says, "How many are going to be saved?" you understand the question makes sense. So wondering about how this salvation thing was going to work wasn't out of order. Then add to the fact that people in those days probably could and did carry all their personal belongings with them whenever they went somewhere makes sense again. They didn't have much. In his preaching, Jesus has already upended the usual thinking that those who have the most are the ones blessed by God and the ones most favored. So, curiosity about who would get into the kingdom was worth thinking about. It never occurs to us living in this land of plenty that somehow there might not be room for us in the kingdom of heaven. I mean, we even rope off a section over here, so, you know, there's always room. Now, maybe in February that might not be the case at this mass, but there's, you know, in our living style, there's always room. There's always plenty. But the gospel that we proclaim today calls that thinking into question and challenges our behavior. Jesus makes it clear that we can be saved, but getting there is not easy, and we're going to have to shed a few things if we're going to make it. Too much stuff, too many unresolved issues is going to make it harder, if not impossible. The door is small and the door is narrow. We are pilgrims who need to travel lightly. unforgiven offenses, grudges, prejudice, hatred, racism. These are things that aren't going to fit through that door. We need to decide what matters and what does not. And we need to take time now to look at what kind of baggage we're carrying with us on this journey. That second parable states it even more clearly and more firmly. That door is not going to be open forever. Delay or putting off what we need to do to prepare is dangerous because entrance into the kingdom is not going to have anything to do with who you know or who you are or the stuff you've piled up. It will have to do with how carefully and how successfully we have conformed our lives to the one who leads us there. One look at that cross tells us everything. When he entered into his glory and came back to his Father, he had nothing left. He didn't even have any friends. No clothes, no blood, no breath. He poured it all out. It is what it is, the saying goes. And this is how it is, says this gospel. The door is narrow, and we'll be wise to travel lightly, having shed everything at all that slows us down, and the door, sooner or later, will be closed once and for all. It would not be wise to be on the outside. Excuses, name-dropping, and for that matter, any other claim is going to go unheard. A simple, faithful life focused on the destination is what it takes. Our claim on a place there will have nothing to do with where we've lived, who we know, or for that matter, what we've done, except conform our lives to His.